And wouldn't you? Thank you, choir, and David and Eli, the multitasker, man of many talents, and Travis and Lisa. Appreciate all of you. Turn to Mark 12 this morning, verses 38 to 44. We've just begun a study of Jesus' final days leading to the cross. And last week, Heath led us through a study of Jesus' conversation with the scribe, in which they both agreed that the great commandment, the most important commandment, is that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It was St. Augustine who said, "We do not come to God upon our feet, but upon our affections, our heart." That's how we come to him, with our heart. And in the story before us today, we see a wonderful example of that kind of extravagant devotion to the Lord. Father, we would rather have Jesus. We thank you that you have given him to us so freely. We come to you in his name, the name of our great high priest, whose name is love, the one who made an end of all of our sin, and how we thank you for that great sacrifice, that great work of atonement and redemption that he has accomplished and applied to us. May we come to you this morning and in the days to come upon our affections. May we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Enable us to, we pray. And bless us now as we look to your word. May your word illumine us, be a light to our path, a lamp unto our feet. Lead us in the way everlasting, we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. And in his teaching he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces, and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen." You know, as American consumers, we are always looking for a good deal, aren't we? We're pleased with ourselves when we find something on sale, and when we are able to get the most for the least cost. And conversely, we are distressed if for whatever reason we are careless or something beyond our control happens and we lose money. An investment goes south, or as Jesus once said, moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal. It can certainly put us in a bad mood. Agreed? Agreed. I read a story this week about a homeless man who was desperately looking for employment. And he was a little hard of hearing, but a hard-working individual, and he was in a very upscale neighborhood, going door to door, knocking on these beautiful homes, looking for some sort of manual labor, and finally came to one home where the owner was pleased and said, "Sure, you can paint the porch in the back and the paint's there and brushes and so forth. Have at it." And of course, he was ecstatic about that and went to work and did his job to the very best of his ability, and returned an hour later knocked on the door again and told the man he was finished. And the homeowner was amazed that he had completed the work so quickly. He said, "You must be a really hard worker." And the homeless man said, "Well, yes, sir." He said, I painted the whole thing front to back, top to bottom. By the way, it's a Ferrari and not a Porsche. Y'all a little slow this morning, I must say. I'll give you another chance later on during the service, man. Well, yikes, you know, things happen, right? That money talks, I'll not deny. I heard it once, it said goodbye, goodbye. And so, we are often tempted to hoard. Truth be known, we fear the future, and we are often tempted to kind of rein in, we might say, and that attitude of looking for the best deal often seeps into the church, where we become consumers once again, and we're looking for the best church and the best music and the best buildings and the best ministries and the best programs, but we really hope somebody else will pay for it or work for it or serve for it, because we're pretty busy, we've got a lot to do, and surely somebody else can take care of it. Well, we meet a woman this morning who wasn't looking for any kind of deal at all. She already had the best deal. Obviously, she was a saved woman, saved by grace. And the only thing she was looking for was an opportunity to express her love, her affection for the Savior of her soul, for her great high priest whose name is love. So the first thing we see this morning is that Jesus condemned hypocrisy. And we see it in verses 38 to 40, he's pointing out the scribes, and he's rebuking the scribes for their practice of wearing the long robes and saying the long prayers and taking the seats of honor at the feasts and in the synagogue and so forth. As they did all these things, we're not given the details, but somehow or another, they were able to extort money from widows in order to line their own pockets. Now, scribes didn't have a lot of money. The Sadducees were wealthy people. The scribes were not, and therefore they depended upon donations from supporters, followers, whatever. And therefore the temptation to do things, to carry out their ministry in such a way as to impress others was an ever-present temptation. They were, by and large, as a group, respected. The long flowing robes were a sign of spiritual eminence. And if you happened to be seated on a street corner somewhere and a scribe passed by, you would stand as a show of respect for the scribe. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with being respected, is there? But still, the temptation to do these things, to pray, to preach, to teach, to carry on ministry in order to impress was a very strong one then, just like it's a strong one to this day, and always will be for those who are leading in churches and in charitable organizations. Those organizations dependent upon donations and the like. It's a matter of the heart, isn't it? It's a matter of the motive. Often we just want to look good, don't we? There's a true story about D.L. Moody, who was waiting on the platform to speak at a crusade one evening. Big crowd was gathered, and a man was leading in prayer before he began his sermon. And the man prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed a long prayer, so long that Mr. Moody became exasperated and rose out of his seat and went to another microphone while this man was still praying. And he spoke into the microphone and called out to his song leader, Ira Sankey, and he said, "Mr. Sankey, come lead us in a song while our brother finishes his prayer." True story. We have to watch our motives, don't we? And guard our hearts, lest we be motivated far too much by this temptation to impress other people. And it was all pretense on the part of the scribes. They honored him with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. In Matthew's account, Jesus said this, speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees, "They do all their deeds to be seen by others. They love the place of honor. They preach, but they do not practice. They travel over land and sea to make one single proselyte, but then turn him into twice a child of hell as themselves." Pretty strong words from the Lord, who here said they will receive the greater condemnation. So Jesus condemned this pretense, this hypocrisy. Secondly, he commended sincere generosity. Or should I say, he commended extravagant devotion as exhibited by the woman, the widow. Verse 43, "And he called his disciples and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box.'" His math is different. He calculates differently than we do. We look on the outward appearance. We think about the bottom line. Jesus looks upon the heart, and he saw here a big heart. I didn't say that well. He saw here a gigantic heart, maybe the biggest heart he'd ever seen. And it was a heart that was overflowing, didn't care what other people thought. A heart that was just, her cup runneth over. A heart that was just overflowing with love for her Savior. She did what she did for one reason. She wanted to do that. She was looking for an opportunity to express her love. If the bottom line is all that mattered, she probably should have kept that money, because that money didn't impact the budget at all. I mean, what difference did it make? They couldn't hire new staff. It wouldn't help the building program. It wouldn't help the operating expenses. It was negligible. It wasn't a blip on the radar. But Jesus, according to his math, says she put in more than all the other rich cats out there combined. Which reminds us that we should never fawn over the large, large gifts, nor ever disparage the small tokens of love for the Lord. Should we? Because we don't know what's in the heart. And in that context, the last, the least might be first. And the first might be least. So Jesus commended this remarkable display of giving everything she had, because she gave her heart, she gave herself to the Lord. You remember Christina Rossetti's beautiful poem and that famous line in there that she asked, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what I can, I give my heart." That's what this lady did. She gave her heart. The money was kind of insignificant, but Jesus commended her because she gave her heart, and that's what she was craving. True love craves opportunities to express itself. And this woman was so grateful for that opportunity that she had to express unbelievable, extravagant, excessive devotion to the Lord. In her mind, she was a living sacrifice. I think we would agree. Loving God with all of her heart and soul and mind and strength. When Jesus looked into the hearts of the scribes, what do you think he saw? He saw love of self. They loved being respected. They loved being admired. They loved the donations they got because they were respected. And so their hearts were full of self-love. They wanted to look good. They wanted to make a positive impression. The woman just wanted to love Jesus. Some 10, 12 years ago, Kristen and I were invited by one of the former custodians, one of the custodians of our former church, I should say, invited us to a concert at his home church, Sunday evening. And we went, maybe 60, 70 people there, and it couldn't have been nicer. Very warm fellowship and wonderful music. And we had a great time, and we sat on a pew by ourselves, but other people nearby. And about two-thirds of the way through the evening, a man went up front and began to talk about a love offering. And he belabored the point so that it was easy for me to decide that I wasn't giving anything to that particular love offering. But then he did something that surprised me. He said, okay, now we're going to come forward by pews and place our offering in these plates right here. So I leaned over to Kristen and said, do you have a 20? It's funny what a difference that makes. Maybe we ought to try that here sometime. I got out of my seat and I took that offering up there, and you should have called me Scribe Jim or Jim the Scribe, because it wasn't the heart. I just wanted to look good. I just didn't want to sit there on that pew and not participate in what everybody else was doing. Well, Jesus condemned hypocrisy and he commended this extravagant devotion, this unbelievable generosity. And third, last thing I'll say this morning, sort of a summary point, it seems to me the point of the whole episode, is that we're to learn that Jesus Christ is worthy of everything we have. He's given us everything he had. And that's why Paul says we're to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to him. Verse 44, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. And I'll make a bet with you for a penny. I bet there's not a person in this room that would have advised the widow to do what she did. If she'd asked for our advice, I bet every last one of us would have said, keep it. Some of us might have warned her. And some of us might even have sort of chided the woman. Oh, be careful, woman. You may starve to death here. You better hold on to what you have. I mean, you need it, right? She didn't have Social Security. She didn't have life insurance. When a widow lost her husband, she lost her income. And she usually lost her house, too. And so, none of us here, I don't think, would have advised her to do it, and none of us here would have commended her for doing it. We would have said it's reckless, it's careless. But remember, she wasn't looking for a good deal. She just wanted to worship her Savior. And while we might not have commended her, and while I'm sure those scribes didn't commend her or praise her, one person did praise her, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, whose math is different, who calculates differently, who said, she's given more than all the others combined. Because they gave out of their abundance, and she gave out of her poverty all that she had to live on. Jesus is worthy of all we have, because he's the pearl of great price, and he's the treasure that's hidden in the field, And what do you do when you find those things? When you find the pearl, you find the treasure, what are you supposed to do? Whatever it takes, really. To be sure you get the pearl. To be sure you have the treasure. Sell everything you have if you need to, but do not miss the opportunity that is before you. And this woman had an opportunity, and she wasn't about to let it go by. She understood Jesus is worthy of everything we have. What's more valuable than life? How many things have we spent money on and effort on that are not worth it? My cell phone seems like once a day, breaking news comes on there. And I think, well, what's this? Something important. It tells me some athlete's been traded to some other team. I don't care. Breaking news. Jesus is worthy of everything. Some years ago, we bought a house with a pool. We thought, oh, this would be good. You know, the kids will like it and the grandkids will like it. But before I bought the house, I asked a good friend of mine. I said, is it expensive to maintain a pool? He said, well, I'll tell you what a friend told me. He said, the friend told me that when you come home from work, before you go in the house, take your wallet out of your pocket, turn it upside down, let all the cash and credit cards, I think, fall on the ground, then go into your house. And the next day, do the same thing, and the next day, and the next day. And so I was warned. And by the way, he later learned that the person who told him that, gave him that advice, was a man that owned a pool maintenance company. Anyway, we bought the house and we enjoyed the pool, but you know, it was one thing after another, and 2 years later I said, it's not worth it for us. Maybe for you, but for us, no. So we sold the house. Then we got very smart by the grace of God, and we bought a house next door to a good friend, and he had a pool. And we got to swim in that pool, and our kids and great, anybody, just about, because they're such nice people, anytime we wanted to. And it's just like salvation, you know. He paid the price. He paid it all. He did all the work. We had all the fun. Jesus paid it all. That's the best deal we will ever get. And therefore, he's worthy of everything we have, of the most extravagant devotion. I mean, the world would call this lady a fanatic. Praise God she was a fanatic. We need more fanatics. He's worthy of the most extravagant sacrifices, the most resolute service. Shame on us for indifference and apathy and lethargy and lukewarmness. He will spit that out of his mouth, he says. And here's a lady who cared deeply and loved deeply. No one forced her hand. No one made her do it. And she didn't care whether it was met with people's approval or not. Jesus was the joy of her loving heart, her fount of life, her living bread, her fountain head. C.T. Studd once said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. David Livingston once said, there's no such thing as a sacrifice for us to offer him. We don't know what a sacrifice is. We may think we do. Studd, by the way, gave away all of his money. You may know that story. Gave away his entire inheritance. Raised in a very aristocratic family. Attended Eton, Trinity College, Cambridge. Was the best cricket player in all of England. But about 1883 or so, he felt the call of the mission field. And 2 years later, he went to work with Hudson Taylor in China. And at the ripe young age of 25, he was scheduled to inherit £29,000, which today I think is worth north of $4 million. And he gave every bit of it away. Some to Moody Bible, some to the Salvation Army, some to George Mueller. The last little bit 3,400 pounds he gave to his fiancée. What do you think she did with it? She gave it away. So they started marriage, and they started their missionary work with absolutely no money, and served the Lord faithfully for many years. And so Stud uttered later his famous words that many of you have heard, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." He loved Jesus. The widow loved Jesus. Jim, church, Peter, he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Have we come to God upon our affections? The Apostle Paul said, "Grace to all of you who love the Lord with an undying love." May it be so. Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love. Before the foundation of the world, you pitched your love upon us. And you sent your Son to redeem us, not with perishable things like gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. And you've blessed us so richly with so much materially, with health and life and friends and family and strength, and yet we so often presume on your goodness. And what have we offered in return but far too often lukewarmness and apathy and half-heartedness? So we pray that you would help us to love you with the undying love of which the apostles spoke. Grant that we would be living sacrifices in your behalf. Enable us to love you, Lord God, with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.